I'm Larry Larson of Channel 10. We're talking with Matthew McLaren from Microsoft Research.
Yeah.
And you worked on Boku, which is now Kodu.
That's right, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about this. How did it start?
Well, it started, my daughter was 3 years old at the time, and I just kind of occurred to me, I think it was a Christmas break, what was her perception of the computer going to be? You know, what was she going to think it was for? What was she going to think it was about? And just looking at how we used the computer around the house, we did a lot of web surfing, you know, Facebook, news, and stuff like that. Those are wonderful, but I wanted to give her some of what my first experience with computers was, which was it was a Commodore PET, and the only thing you could do with it was program, and that was fantastic. It was liberating, you know, and so we really just wanted to find a way to, in this modern age, convey the sense that the computer is a creative tool and that programming is fundamentally a creative medium.
Yeah. So was this your way to secretly get her programming?
Well, it was definitely selfish. It was it's almost like that to show her that what dad does actually is cool.
Yes.
You know, and that kind of thing. You know, and I mean, yeah, it's not so much, I don't know if I want her to be a programmer when she grows up, mm-hmm. but I think just to share like that it's cool and that really, you know, joy is kind of a strong word, but that moment that like, wow, it's like it's doing my thoughts are happening on this screen here, you know, and just to share some of that magic with her. And the cool thing is it's also been a way to share some of it with my wife, who's always, you know, been wondering what it is exactly that I do, you know. And so Kodu, because it's so visual, you know, you can really sort of spell out, you know, this is a programming thought, and then here's what it looks like when it runs. You know,
so how do you decide how much ability to give it? I mean, that must be hard because programming languages are very robust and rich, and you can do so much. How do you know where to draw the line in the game?
Yeah. Well, some of the principles we started with were talking to some of the other folks who had tried to do early kid programming stuff, and one of the things they pointed out, which was really we've really held, is that abstraction is really a deterrent for smaller kids, and that as soon as you start talking variables and constants and these things that have no real-world analog to them, it gets much harder to hold their interest. Mm-hmm. So from the start, we really tried to all the programming concepts in Kodu are expressed in physical terms. Like we have variables, but one example is a variable is you can set the color of a rock. You know, and so that's a way that you can play with the concept of variables without introducing it as an abstract term. It's like every kid intuitively understands, oh, I can change the color of this rock, and that other robot can see that the color of this rock changed. And so it's a way to communicate these sort of computer science concepts, hiding the fact that they're new concepts, or in certain ways pointing out how those concepts exist in reality already. And so that's been a really powerful design criteria for us. And then the other thing we keep doing is we keep throwing new game genres at it. So like at one point we were like, okay, can we do Pac-Man? If not, why? And so this was where we had to get this thing, this concept we have called pages, which is really just a go-to or a subroutine. It's really just a jump. It's a simple state machine, and it's embodied in our programming UIs. You basically turn the page. And so if you're on this page, you're running these instructions. If you're on that page, you're running those instructions. And so that's a case where the gaming scenario forces to bring in a little bit more of abstraction, but also in a way that makes the computer science educators happy, because now we can say we have state machines, you know, we're sort of more of a Turing machine kind of model.
So this game is an XNA-based game.
Yeah.
What was the decision behind that?
Well, we're a tiny team, so we really, I've been working with managed code forever. I was on the team doing the Dylan-based version of the Newton at Apple, which was, I think, the first managed code OS I've ever seen. And so I've always been a fan of how much more productive you are working at a higher level in an environment that has a garbage collected runtime and stuff like that. And so C# was a really natural choice for us just to really get with, you know, a four-person team to be able to get something to ship quality. And we also knew that everyone on the team has worked on commercial games before, and we knew that a lot of the hard work was going to be happening in the shaders and that the Xbox had a really capable GPU. So it was a really good trade-off for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know we pay a little bit of performance for having managed code, but what we gain in productivity is more than worth it.
And so this will be available through download on Xbox Live, is that right?
Right, yeah, it'll be the Xbox Live Community Games channel, which is sort of a, you know, we know that I think one of the really, I'm a huge fan of XNA. So, yeah. One of the things that I think is really great that they've been trying to do is, you know, what we've seen, you know, on the internet is a much broader spectrum of people developing products, you know, and a much broader definition of what a product is. So you have commercial ventures who are doing commercial games, and you have hobbyists who can put up a cool website and other people can experience, and that can be great. And maybe they go commercial after that. And so, you know, the Community Games channel on the 360 is for more of like stuff that's not coming out of commercial studios, stuff that's more experimental, stuff that's coming more from individual authors and teams that really can't mount a massive, you know, $12 million commercial venture. So it was a really nice fit for us because we're in research. We're not technically a product group.
What age group is this geared towards?
Really, we've been through usability with a couple hundred kids and adults, and it's really pretty much 9 and up. We've seen younger kids who have a lot of fun with it. They like building the terrains and moving characters around and stuff like that. We see at 9 that the kids start to be able to plan a little more deliberately. So in terms of someone creating something where there's, you know, what we more consider to be a game where there's, you know, rules and victory conditions and all that. That really, we've seen that in usability start more at 9 and up. But we've also tested with a lot of 25, 35, 45-year-old people. And there's a lot of adults who are into it too, because really, even actually for us, you know, who have professional gaming background, it's really cool to be able to sit down on the sofa and bang out a new idea in a half an hour. Because we know that, you know, having done commercial games, you know, to do something really clever, you're doing a couple months of setup work. So to have something where the physics work already and the engine's up and running and the graphics are relatively polished, just as a starting base is great for everyone.
So you could probably use it as a prototype tool too.
Yeah, it's really fun working with, because, you know, we do have a big gaming division, obviously, in Microsoft, and sitting down with some of the designers over there, and they were like, wow, we wish that we could build our games like this.
How complex of a game can you create with Kodu?
We haven't hit the limit yet, we're not sure.
We'll see.
Because, you know, what we tried to do is make it so that easy things are really easy to do and complex things are possible to do. And you know, I've seen little kids show me stuff that I didn't know the engine could do.
Yeah.
And we really try to just pack in, you know, although we have a relatively small set of programming primitives, when you can combine them together in interesting ways and, you know, there are interesting default behaviors that happen. And so we tried to really pack a lot of depth into it so that, you know, sort of my favorite audience member is, you know, the nerdy Dungeons and Dragons kid, you know, in the basement who's just going to really kind of go nuts, you know, building out a really detailed world. And we've seen just a few kids start to do that already, and it's really gratifying for us.
When will this be available?
Spring 2009, so on the Xbox.
Great. Well, thanks so much for meeting with us today.
Yeah, great. Pleasure to talk to you.